This evening's reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 28. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be with you. Amen. Living as a community, how should we live as a church? Sometimes I feel that's like spices. The main spices are salt and pepper. Salt and pepper are phenomenally successful in the herbal spice arena. They arrogantly sit on the table, knowing whatever you are going to prepare, you are going to require them. And me and my friend Pep here, isn't that right, Pep? Yes, that's right. Breaking this at breakfast this morning, I was all over it. But there are two other spices, like oregano, rosemary, or paprika. They are lined up in the cupboard and waiting. And sometimes the cupboard opens and they see salt and pepper sitting there on the table, and they say to each other, "Look how arrogantly they're sitting there. What did they got? What did they got what we don't have?"
"I don't understand, neither do I.
I can't see them from here. What do they look like?" Have you been out of the cupboard, Cumin?
Once, I think.
For bolognese. They said it was an experiment. It was in 1992. I think it didn't work out. And what about you, Rosemary? Have you been out of the cupboard?
Actually, I lived with them in their old house, and they moved me here, and they put me back in this cupboard. So, no.
And what about you, Paprika?
I fell out once. And they just put me back. The wrong way around. And I still have this plastic thing on my head. I don't know why I'm here.
Do you
feel sometimes like this here at LEC in church. Living as a community. The text we have, I think, is dealing with exactly this. And here at LEC, we have different people and gifts and priorities in that people and backgrounds and social status. And we all should stay together and live together. And how should that be possible? And additional to that, if we have a look in our text, a first very quick overview. It seems to be very patriarchic, demanding unreasoned obedience to the leadership. And this whole could be centered around one or few people, and that gives them unlimited power. And if you want to be a part of it, you have to work your way up. So the text is about power, control, and the abuse of it. But sounds that like Jesus? I think not. And yes, you might get that impression if we have really a very short overview and look to the text. But let's go deeper, like LEC always does. We are going to do, next slide please. No? The other one? Yes. Three steps. At first, we are going to have some word clarifications to the text. Then we try to see the context in Thessaloniki. And then we have a look on the problems of the very young church. So first, word clarifications. And the main problems are in verse 12. First, respect those who labor among you. With every Greek word, and you are, or take every Greek word, and you are a translator, a Bible translator. And you know your Greek, your ancient Greek. Your problem is that with every word, you not just have one translation, and you just do it, but you have a whole range of different words you can use in English or German to describe this word. And in this passage, it's crucial to get the words right. So I try to give you the picture that every word tries to, or it's like, it's a Greek word, and involved in that Greek word is a whole range of pictures, of feelings and emotions, and yeah, I try to figure that out with you. So respect those who labor among you. Sounds a little bit like, okay, yeah, there are some bosses, and I have to do what they want. But the Greek word does mean, you know, there are people who work for the benefit of the church. They think, discuss, talk about what's best for the people. And they are responsible before God to have the best for the people in mind. Wouldn't it'd be great to be led by people like this. Second one is, are over you in the Lord. That's a really difficult word. And it means to stand before somebody, to protect somebody, like, next slide, Kevin Costner did when he tried to rescue or take the bullet for Whitney Houston in the film Bodyguard. And then she sang, I will always love you. And maybe Martin does under the shower. I don't know. Next word, admonish, ermahnen. That means to put the head on the right position again. So if you are lost in some ideas, the leadership should remember you what is the basis of faith, and they try to recenter you. That does the word mean. And the last one is in verse 14. Again, admonish, but now admonish the idle. Weist die Unordentlichen zurecht. The Greek does mean remember. Each other to fulfill the responsibility God gave you in the church. You took them willingly, so now don't be undisciplined. And you find this also in the footnote number 6, or disorderly or undisciplined. Yeah, that's a problem with the Greek, and that's a little help you get if it's necessary. Nearly every Bible. So I think now the text does look a little bit different. So to the next step. The context in Thessaloniki. Next slide. Thank you. Thessaloniki was the capital of Macedonia. And Paul went there in his second mission trip. That was circa 49. And now he's writing the letter, and we are in the year 50 or 51. So it was very short time between founding a church and writing the first letter. And a lot of Greeks got converted between that, and also Gentiles who tried to live the Jewish way. So it's like they aren't Jews, but they tried to do that in that way. Yeah, but mostly Gentiles in that church. And the problems who are with that are three. Next slide. Flop. The Greece hierarchy. That means in Greece it was like this, that the loudest and the strongest and the most sophisticated one, he'll get to lead the group. But in the kingdom of God, sometimes it's a little bit different. First one. Second one, old habits, like revenge. If you're a Christian and you converted 2 years ago, there are a lot of feelings and habits and emotions in you where you can imagine that they don't really fit into a Jesus-like lifestyle. And the whole church had to deal with that. And the third one, they made some charismatic experiences combined with a misuse of power. So, and that's what Paul is dealing with in that text. So, let's have a closer look. Yeah. And we take the verses 12 till 18. How could the church look like? And 19 till 22. How to deal with charismatic gifts. So, let's go for the first. And I read it again, verse 12 till 18. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in any circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In these verses, Paul tries to draw a picture how the church could look like. And if you read these verses, it feels a little bit like a recipe book. And there are two ways to deal with a recipe book. First, a German way, and secondly, an East German way. Next slide. The German way is stick to the rules. The Eastern German way is... Next slide. Okay.
Hebrews is German.
Beamer is East German. You are crushing a massive joke now. Okay, let's carry on. So a German way, stick to the rules. And an Eastern German way, take what you have and make the best out of it. And I think that's something like we can deal with this. Yeah, take what you have and make the best out of it. And that's how we can deal with the passage. We are all in a broken status, and we all know where our weaknesses are. And it's really hard if we just try to stick to the rules. And yeah, so as we see in a few minutes, it's also Jesus who says, or Paul in this passage, take what you have and make the best out of it. But at the same time, Paul is very clear what the problems are. For example, verse 15. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. There are these old habits of these young Christians, and they doesn't fit into this Jesus lifestyle. But Paul says, encourage each other to follow Jesus. You are young Christians. That's okay, and that's no problem. But get it clear, repent, get it straight with Jesus and those among you, and then go on. And the great thing is, Paul is offering a positive alternative. Seek to do good. So we don't have to concentrate, oh, I don't have to do that, I don't have to do this, but I try to do good. And maybe by that, I forget what's bad. And who are the young Christians here at LEC? What support do they get? Do you sometimes wish, oh please, would somebody come and encourage me or just be here? Or do we just see the mistakes of the others and are too shy or too proud to discover Jesus with them? Next, verse 19 till 22. The next big section is about charismatic challenges. Charisma is a Greek word, again, and means gift or talent. And that could be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control, like Galatians 5:22 says. But it also could mean gifts like speaking in languages you never learned or never heard before, getting an impression or a Bible verse that speaks directly into the heart and life of somebody, or you pray for somebody and he gets healed. Or if you want to take the Christianese terms, speaking in tongues, prophecy, and healing ministry. But I prefer the other ones. And I think in this passage, Paul is referring to the second ones. And a lot of the letters we have are dealing with these charismatic matters, like Romans, Corinthians, and also 1 Peter does. So it's not just a Paul thing, it's also Peter and a lot of other guys in the early church. And his first and main point is, don't put those gifts aside. God gave them to you to do good and help each other. On the other side, these gifts like prophecy, new languages, or healing could make people proud or jealous, like the spices in the cupboard. So we need that in a few minutes. So what are Paul's suggestions to deal with these charismatic gifts? Great. First, don't quench the spirit. Now I activated the hot plate, and the water in there is getting really hot. But if I take the pot from the hot plate, it gets cold, and the food in there will get also cold and slowly develop a mold. And that's like if we are take the Holy Spirit and God's work out of our church life. Next one is, don't despite verachten prophecies. It's a little bit like the, it's a little bit different. There are some people who have the gift to get a Bible verse or something like to speak in people's lives. And wouldn't it be so wrong to just ignore this and to ignore what God is saying through people into LEC and our church? But also important to get this prophecy thing right. I think a good definition would be prophecy, that is God's word or God's will spoken into a specific time and place. Again, to remember, God's word or God's will spoken into a specific time and place. And who are we that we would say, God, maybe you think that's best for us, but we know better. Next one, but test everything. So now we have these prophecies, and Paul is for it. And to know if a prophecy is right or wrong or comes from God or not, he gives us a little hints to get it. I would say a prophecy is wrong if it is in contradiction to the Bible. The Bible is the main authority or the main source we have to get anything from God. If we take the Bible away, we are left with prayer and our relationships. But it needs more than that. So we have to test everything to the Bible if we want to see if a prophecy is right or wrong. And secondly, a prophecy, I think, is wrong if it's totally out of context, culture, or proportion. And thirdly, if it's in contradiction to what others in the church see. To make an example, Martin gets a sign from God that he should get his own airplane to get much faster to the conferences he really deserves to go. And LEC should pay for it. That would be, I think, in contradiction to what others see, really out of proportion and context. And if we take the word from Jesus, it's very hard for rich people to get in the kingdom of God. So, Martin, no airplane. Next one. Hold fast what's good. In church history, a lot of traditions developed. And some of these traditions are really good and really work out. But at the same time, I think they started really awkward. Imagine, there is some guy, 200, in the year 200. And he says, okay, now it's 40 days before Easter. Let's not eat until then. I wonder what the other Christians said to him, like, what? Yeah, seems a little bit crazy. But at the same time, to fast or to limit yourself to prepare for Easter became a very good tradition. And until today, a lot of people are doing it. At the same time, it could be that here in LEC or in any other church are also some traditions or habits we sometimes don't reflect on it. To make an example, what I don't understand, if we have the Lord's Supper, the crust of the bread is cut away, and I don't know why. it's a tradition we have. Yeah, maybe there's some spiritual wisdom in it. I don't know.
Then the lies even crossed.
Okay. So we can also reflect on the traditions we have and find out if they are really make sense or not. And the last one, abstain from evil. To keep your heart close to Jesus and to the Word of God doesn't make us invulnerable, but it helps us to see the evil coming and get around it. So five very short points. And now, what does it mean for us today here at LEC? Some people are really important. And they have a gift of holding everything together. For example, like Connie. If you need her, she's always there. And she's connecting people and know what's best for them and how to deal with that and, yeah, all the stuff. And they're a little bit like a pot. They are holding the whole meal together. And there are several people with this gift. Josie's also somebody like this, I would say. And there are people who are like a knife. And we have also people like this who know how to shape things right or how to put people into the right proportion in time or in how to do the service rota or something like that. And like, for example, Yvonne is at the LEC office. And we have very different versions of that gift. Or let's take salt and pepper. In the beginning, you said they are everywhere, and they are everywhere. And they are people you can use at every event. For example, like Axel and Heidi. Or we have spices, several ones. These are like people for special occasions, like people who have special gifts, and you don't see them in the front very often. Like, for example, Hermann. You hardly see him, but hugely important if anything has to be fixed, like the Beamer thing there. I don't know how we get there to the top, but he's great. And we have to know what's good. Gemüsebrühe. And what's bad? Marmite. Just a joke. We also have a cookbook, the Bible. And we have a cook. And now it's important, the cook is not Martin. The cook is God, because he's leading LEC. And now can I do what I wanted to do before? If we are connected to the hot plate, so if we are in prayer, listening to the Lord, serving people, something is cooking on it. But if we are if we take ourselves away from the hot plate, from Jesus, suddenly it stops cooking. But we can repent. Go back to Jesus and be still connected and, yeah. And too much of anything of that could ruin everything. Like if somebody wants to be in the front at every event at LEC. And at the same time, if one is missing, the meal can't be as delicious as it could be. Or if you say, oh, look, I'm just this roundish knife. I don't know myself what I'm going to do with my gift. And nobody is here who knows what I'm going to do. How would it be if we are encouraging each other to say, oh, look, that's your gift. You are the one who goes under the skin. Like somebody who's in pastoral care, who knows what's important for people. Or peeling a tomato that also goes under the skin. And what I also think is very important for us at LEC, we as a church are very international. And with this gift, we can reach people other German kind of churches don't reach. So what does it mean for us to have this gift, to have this people? Now, to have in mind this text and this pot stuff and all that could be a little bit like, now I have to do all this stuff and it's too much for me. But let's have a look to verse 24. He who calls you faithful, he will surely do it. And that's kind of blessing that Paul gives the Thessalonians, and maybe also us. All the stuff I mentioned that's important with gifts and who's in the right place and time and all the stuff and charismatics and the other gift and, yeah. The one who leads us through is Jesus, and we can trust on him if we try to do the best in the LSC Koch Studio. We can hope that God is leading us through, and he is faithful, so he will surely do it. Let's stay faithful in our calling as a church and as individuals, as spices and kitchen tools, and let's keep the hot plate hot, and let's stay connected to it. Carry on for blessing another and seeking the gifts of God we have. Let's pray. God, Father, you know us as LEC, and you know every individual. You know what our gifts are. You know what our challenges are. You know where we are understood and where we aren't. And Lord, we pray that you give us a good atmosphere here, that we stay connected to you, and through that, that we see each other, help each other, encourage each other, and also say, hey, that's your massive and amazing gift, so good that you are here. Thank you, God, that you are the one who leads us through into eternity. And thank you that you are the cook of LEC. Thank you, God. Amen.